So, Father, we just thank you so much that we get to gather as your people. That, Lord, we get to do that in freedom. And that, Lord, we get to do that with an assurance that you are not far off, but that you are right here with us. And that, Lord, you not only see us as a gathered group of your people, but that you see us as individuals, that you know each one of us intimately. And that, Lord, we have this assurance that you speak to us as your people, that you lead us, that you bring your wisdom, that, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you illuminate Scripture to us. And so, Lord, we come this morning to this time around the Word with that assurance that you have something on your heart for each one of us this morning, and that, Lord, you will be faithful to communicate that to us. So, Lord, we do our part, our ears and hearts open to you, and we do that with intention. In Jesus' name, amen. So many of you would know that we are, one of the other things that we have really felt stirred this year to do is to read through the Bible together, or provide an invitation and an opportunity as a gathering of people here at Vision to read through the Bible. We're into our third month. I don't know about you, but I am very grateful that it's 25 readings in the month, which gives me a little bit of an opportunity to catch up. February was a bit more of a scramble with only 28 days instead of 30 or 31. But I want to encourage you, if that's something that you've joined us on the journey on, to keep going, to be persistent in the discipline of reading through Scripture this year. And so that's something that I've been participating in. And one of the things that never ceases to amaze me when I read Scripture, but particularly when there's an opportunity over a year to read the full breadth of Scripture, is just how unrelentingly faithful God is. Even in the face of human sin and frailty and failure, that he keeps showing up, keeps providing a way of escape. And it's been no different this time as we've started this read through the Scripture. That as we have made our way through, if you're kind of tracking along, we're kind of in the middle of Numbers at the moment. And so we haven't really even got to the rather more messy bits and the full extent of ancient Israel's rebellion yet. And yet we can already see God's unrelenting faithfulness to his people. And then, because our Bible reading plan is reading through both the Old and the New Testament simultaneously, we just also get, don't we, this constant reminder of his ultimate faithfulness in coming in human form, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to rescue us and redeem us. But the thing that I want to share with you this morning is, I guess, a way that God has been speaking to me through passages that do feel familiar. I've read them before, but somehow in the wondrous nature of the living, active Word of God, that there's been something new that has stood out to me this time, or a different way that he's communicated to me a foundational truth of following him. And that has surprised me, because it stood out in reading Exodus and Leviticus and now Numbers. I recognize that these books are hard going. I won't get a show of hands or a hearty amen, but I have to say, in years gone by, my attempts to read the Bible through had me an expert in Genesis and maybe a little bit of Exodus, and then I would peter out. But I think something that has really helped me over the years is to frame these books as an answer to the biggest question that plagues humankind, and that is, how can a sinful people be reconciled to a holy God? And so, simply put, Leviticus presents these instructions on how a faithful God provided a way for sinful people to live in his holy presence. And then Numbers is starting to see the application of those instructions that we read in Leviticus. And so I came to this portion of scripture again with this overall sense that God is faithful and that he keeps showing up even when his people are making a mess. And that what we read, even as we read all of these instructions and laws and lists and the nitty-gritty of it, that he has been making a way always for his people to be in his presence. And so I came to scripture this time again with that in mind, and also, I don't know about you, but with a sense of relief that it's not quite so arduous as it was for the ancient Israelites in terms of adhering to the law and the temple and the sacrifices, because for us, we now know that that has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ once and for all. But here is the thing that struck me, and so I am getting to the new thing, or the thing that God highlighted to me this time. This is the thing that struck me this time, and it's found in this very little word that just kept popping out at me as I was reading Leviticus and Numbers and the end of Exodus. It occurs over 30 times in the instructions surrounding the establishment of the temple, and it's the Hebrew word tamid, tamid. And tamid means regularly, continually, constantly, always, and perpetually. And so here are just a few examples that I've read as I've been reading through. So Exodus 25:30 says, "You shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly," tamid. Exodus 27:20, "You shall command the people of Israel that they bring you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may be regularly," tamid, "set up to burn." Or Exodus 29:42, "It shall be a regular burnt offering," regular tamid, "burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you and speak to you there." And then finally, Leviticus 6:13, "Fire shall be kept burning at the altar continually," tamid, "it shall not go out." And this time it hit me. This is the language of faithfulness. This is the language of faithfulness, that amongst all of this symbolism and foretelling of the ultimate sacrifice that would be made for us, woven amongst all of the laws that were to make provision so that God could dwell amongst an unclean and sinful people, he provides this opportunity to practice loyalty and to demonstrate allegiance and obedience. This is faithfulness. It is the outward expression of belief through consistent behavior. And so I'm certainly not saying that for us as followers of Christ, that faithfulness is only to be found in adhering to a set of laws and regulations in a consistent manner. Even King David, who was firmly in the era of living in the time of temple worship and the sacrificial system, understood this. So in Psalm 51, which is written as a direct response to having been found out and exposed for his sin and unfaithfulness with Bathsheba, says this in Psalm 51, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, this you will not despise. Hosea records these prophetic words in chapter 6. I desire, this is words on behalf of God. I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt faithlessly with me. This was not about whether they were offering regularly their burnt sacrifices. Their hearts were turned from him. And then we have Jesus' scathing assessment of the religious leaders of his day. In Matthew 23, we read, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." And so it's clear that whilst faithfulness is expressed by consistent action and outward behaviour, it is ultimately a heart issue. Our faithfulness towards God is motivated by loyal covenantal relationship. To be faithful is to be trustworthy, reliable, devoted, and dependable. Faithfulness takes responsibility seriously, demonstrates allegiance and love. And so this is what makes faithfulness, our faithfulness, a very big deal to God. Because our faithfulness is a response to him and his faithfulness towards us. Our faithfulness is evidence of our faith in him and our covenant with him. We may not be held to the same sacrificial laws outlined in Leviticus, but we are called to practice faithfulness. That is, outward actions and choices that are evidence of our trust, our belief and our allegiance to the one true God. I don't know about you, but I feel the weightiness of that when I consider this, because I know me. Consistently trustworthy, reliable, devoted and dependable. No, I am not that all the time. We sang a song during the week at Vision Women, and the lyrics were beautiful, and they proclaimed what Jesus had done for us, but there was this one phrase at the end of the song that kind of got caught in my throat. The chorus goes, "Amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you." I could probably sing, "In all I do, I want to honor you." Because I really do. I want to honor him. I want to be faithful to him in all things. But there are so many times that I feel very unsuccessful in being faithful. The truth is that we can never out-faithful God, can we? We can't out-love him, we can't out-give him, and we certainly can't out-faithful him. Paul wrote letters to his son in the faith, Timothy, and in his second letter to Timothy, he wrote this in chapter 2, if you're wanting to note where it is. He said, "The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." In other words, God's very nature is to be faithful. So he cannot not be faithful because that is his nature and his character. But I want in the thing that in this passage, I want to just draw your attention for a moment to the distinction between the actions of denying Christ and being faithless, because I think that's really important for us to understand. To deny is to disavow, to desert, to disown, to willfully reject Christ and to fully abandon faith. Faithlessness, on the other hand, is to betray trust, to display moments of weakness and doubt, a failure to be faithful, a lapse in devotion and obedience. And without taking a show of hands, I can guarantee that we have all been there. We have all been faithless. And so when, not if, we are faithless towards God, when we are wavering, inconsistent, unpersevering, disloyal, disobedient, and untrustworthy, we are invited to turn towards him, to move towards him, not away from him. This is repentance. As we confess our sins, as we confess our unfaithfulness, our doubts, our inconsistencies, he promises to forgive us. He is faithful even when we are faithless. That is what Paul was wanting to explain to Timothy. I wonder what Timothy was needing encouragement in. Maybe it was a response in direct contrast to some of the things that Timothy had been talking about. I haven't done this very well. I'm not sure. This is supposition, obviously. But in his discipling of Timothy, Paul wanted him to know that there's a difference between denial of Christ and faithlessness, something that we will all experience. And that even when we are faithless, he is faithful. However, this is not an invitation to simply accept that, to excuse our faithfulness. We must indeed acknowledge that faithfulness is not perfection. It's not without struggle, frailty, and weakness. It's not about always getting it right, and it is certainly not achieved merely by applying our willpower. But faithfulness is something that we are called to grow in as we mature in Christ. It is a discipline that we need to practice. And so amongst all the other things that God was weaving into all those practices we read in Leviticus, he was giving them opportunity to practice the discipline of faithfulness. So how do we intentionally grow in faithfulness? I mean, there are many examples through Scripture of faithfulness, faithful people, our faithful Messiah. I want to bring a couple of keys to us that I believe we can find in Psalm 37 this morning. Just one verse, 37 verse 3. I think it will be familiar to many of us. It says this, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness." That's how the ESV translation reads. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. That word befriend there can be translated in a number of ways. In my research, I found out that it's a specific shepherding term. Not surprising, this is a Psalm of David. And so David's audience would have understood this term much better than us. So the translators have done their best to convey the meaning, And so some use the word cultivate or to feed on or to befriend. But all three of these translations of the Hebrew word used by David in the psalm give us some sense that what David wants us to do is to devote ourselves to developing faithfulness until it becomes a part of us, to graze on it, to feed on it, to befriend it, to cultivate it. That we have a part to play in growing in faithfulness. I think it is important to acknowledge that there is for us an ever-present tension, isn't there, as followers of Jesus, about the things that happen from the inside out, those transformational works of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Many of you would know that faithfulness is listed as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. And so there is an aspect of faithfulness that is an inside-out process. However, the tension that we walk is between that and the work that only He can do in us, and then the disciplined, intentional outward actions that we are called to participate in. And so I want you to bear that in mind, the work of the Holy Spirit and our disciplined, intentional action to develop faithfulness, as we just look at two keys this morning, that's all, found in this little verse in Psalm 37. So the first key to growing or cultivating faithfulness is to trust in the Lord. And that may seem like it's stating the obvious, because of course He is the reason for our faithfulness. His will and way are the focus of our faithfulness. But this is what I want to draw to your attention this morning when we talk about cultivating faithfulness. I cannot stress this enough. How easy it is for us to be sidetracked by our own religious activity, by our own agendas, by our own ideas, and then to label it all as faithfulness. Is that not exactly what the Pharisees did and what Jesus pinged them on all the time? That they had developed their own definition of what it was to be faithful. So faithfulness is demonstrated by our consistent outward actions and choices. It gives evidence to our trust in God, our belief and our allegiance to Him. And growing in relationship with God does include faithful, consistent disciplines like reading Scripture and prayer and acts of worship and gathering together corporately, not as a fulfillment of law, but as a continual reminder and intentional action to seek after the Lord continually, to seek His presence in our life, to seek His leading in our life, to seek after Him. As we look to be intentional in cultivating faithfulness, we remember that we trust Him. We follow Him. We obey Him. N.T. Wright, I read this in the Lent devotion that I'm doing over this next 40 days. And N.T. Wright wrote this, "Obedience, in fact, arises most naturally, not from an ethic being forced upon us against our will, but from a sense of humility which comes when we don't know the way but trust that God does." You know, sometimes we don't know exactly what He's going to consider faithfulness. There are obvious things that would be considered faithfulness. But, you know, there are times where trusting God and His leading in our life is what's going to help us work out what does faithfulness look like in this circumstance. And so one of the ways that we avoid misdirected faithfulness is by seeking His leading and His wisdom and then doing what He says. You know, for some of you right now, faithfulness may look like laying something down in your life that you've been trying to persistently plug along at, but actually God is saying, will you lay that down? And that is actually a display of faithfulness. For some of you here, faithfulness will look like picking something up. For some of us, faithfulness is simply going to be staying the course on what He has already asked us to do. But if we don't trust Him to lead us and guide us, then we are going to have misdirected faithfulness. Because our faithfulness is to Him, not to an action. It's to Him. So, you know, there are times in our life where faithfulness looks like plodding. And there are times in our life where faithfulness looks like running after something in faithful pursuit. And so we trust God. We seek after Him because that is vital to cultivating true faithfulness, not what we perceive to be faithfulness. And so the second key this morning is found in the second half of this verse. Michelle, would you mind coming up? Thank you. In the instruction, do good and dwell in the land. And so what I want to position for us this morning is that this is about being faithful in action to do good, not just in our intentions, with what we've been given to dwell in the land. So to be faithful in action, not just intention, with what we've been given, the people, the gifts, the resources and the responsibilities that we've been entrusted with now. I was listening to an interview a couple of weeks ago with a Jesuit priest. He has served for over 3 decades in LA with some of the toughest criminals and gang members. And his ministry, which is called Homeboy Industries, has grown from very small beginnings into the largest gang intervention and rehabilitation program in the world. And he was asked by the interviewer, how on earth had he persevered so long in such tough conditions? And how did he feel about the success that Homeboy Industries now had? And he made a statement that really caught my attention. I've since found out that it was originally said by Mother Teresa. But he said this, Christians aren't called to be successful. We're called to be faithful. All outcomes are in His hands, not ours. Christians aren't called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. All outcomes are in His hands. And so God doesn't ask us to be brilliant or above average or a star or have some massive platform. What He asks us to be is faithful and trustworthy and dependable and reliable and persistent, which is something that we can only practice over time. With what and who He has placed in our lives, with what we have in our lives right now. And so we're not to think about how we might be faithful in 5 years' time or when we finally, you fill in the blank, but right now, to do good, to put faithfulness into action, and to dwell in the land. The people, the resources, the gifts that He's given us right now. And one thing that I want to encourage you in this morning is to not underestimate cultivating faithfulness in the small and ordinary things of your life. There is nothing insignificant to God if He's placed it in our hands to be faithful. And so it's a challenge, isn't it, for us this morning? How are we cultivating faithfulness in our lives? You know, are there areas of your life where you've labeled something faithfulness and God is trying to get your attention to go, I didn't actually ask you to do that. Trust God to lead you. He's God, we are not. I think we should get some new t-shirts made up. He is God, we are not. Trust Him to lead you. And then have a look, take inventory of what He's placed in your life now, in this season. Do good and dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. None of us are going to do this perfectly. To be honest, all of us will probably find things just in today, let alone the week and the month as we reflect, where we have not been fully faithful. But I believe today is an invitation by the grace and in the empowering of the Holy Spirit for us to refix our gaze, to plant our feet, and to commit ourselves afresh to trust God and to cultivate faithfulness in our lives. Can I pray for us this morning? Because we can't do that without His help. Father, just all over our service today has been a reminder of Your faithfulness. That is our starting point, it's our ending point, it's our covering and it's our foundation. God, You are faithful. And Father, as Your people, as Your children, as those who are called by Your name, God, we want to be found to be a faithful people. We acknowledge, God, that we don't get that right. That, God, we can be faithless and wavering and doubting. We make mistakes, we make messes. And we thank You, God, that in those moments we can lean into Your faithful forgiveness towards us and rely upon Your fresh mercies for the next day. But Father, we don't want to make excuses. We want to be a people who are growing in faithfulness. And so, Father, would You help us? Would You reveal to us those areas of our life, Lord, that You are calling us to faithfulness? Lord, would You reveal those areas in our life where we have labeled something faithfulness and it is not? And Father, would You help us to not put off faithful action? Help us, Lord, to be people who are faithful in the little things. Faithful daily, constantly, continually, regularly. That, Father, we would practice faithfulness in all things with our eyes fixed on You. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.